So, one thing that I need to warn you ahead of time, which is always something to know, the Alter Rebbe uses his own vocabulary. He often uses new terms and he uses new expressions. And it's very important not to automatically assume that what he means by his new expression is what other people mean by his old expression. We're going to see tonight, just to give you a little heads up on what we will be talking about, so I'm going to tell you what we're going to be talking about before we talk about it, is that the Rebbe talks about Yira, and he says there's two types of Yira. There is Yira Tata, there is lower Yira, it's Aramaic Tata, and there's Yira Ilah, there is upper Yira. And he talks about the fact, this is how he's Masbir, a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos that would otherwise be paradoxical, although a lot of Mefarshim has discussion. The Mishnah says, Im ein Yira ein Chachma. If you don't have Yira, you can't have Chachma. Im ein Chachma, but if you don't have Chachma, you can't have Yira. So which comes first? The first statement, Im ein Yira ein Chachma, implies you have to have Yira before Chachma. The second statement implies you have to have Chachma before Yira. So the Alter Rebbe says there's lower Yira, which precedes Chachma. And then once you have Chachma, again, we'll explain this, I'm just showing you the structure. Once you have Chachma, you could be Zocheh to the higher Yira. Right? So obviously you see from the Mishnah, there is lower Yira and higher Yira. Now what is the definition of lower Yira and higher Yira? So I would guess, if I were to take a survey, I don't have time really, but the instinctive answer that all of us would come up with, if you're familiar with Jewish philosophy generally, is that already from the Rishayim, and even before the Rishayim, going back to Rav Sadia Gaon, maybe the first one who articulated. Rav Sadia Gaon, by the way, is actually quite literally the father of Jewish philosophy. Chazal did not teach the philosophy of Judaism in a philosophical modality. Agadita and Medrash are not written as works of organized philosophy. But Rav Sadia Gaon was the first one in the Sefer Amunos Videos to use a philosophical style to convey the Ikarim of Yadus, and the Rambam followed Rav Sadia Gaon, etc. And we don't have to get into the question about what made Rav Sadia Gaon do it. Was he influenced by Arabic philosophers who in turn were influenced by Aristotle? Is it really, in fact, one might argue, again, I don't want to get in trouble with this, one might argue that the whole idea of expressing the Ikrei Amuna in philosophical discourse is something that was gotten from the Greeks. It is not indigenously the Jewish way of expressing things. That's why the Mekubalim don't talk that way either. But nevertheless, going back to Rav Sadia Gaon, Rav Sadia Gaon differentiated between two types of Yira. It's a very familiar distinction. There is something called Yiras Ha'onesh, fear of punishment, meaning fear, quite literally, that I better behave, because if I don't behave, there's going to be a din v'cheshbon after 120 years. Yira sa'onish. And in that sense, yira would be translated as fear and trepidation. They say, b'shem Rabbi Saul Salanter, they once asked Rabbi Saul Salanter if he learns Kabbalah. I'm sure he did. I'm certain that he did, but he didn't want to say that he did. So his answer was, what difference does it make if there's Atzilus, Bria? All I need to know is Gehenim is pretty hot and it's going to hurt if I don't behave. That's, I don't need to know more than that. So that's Yiras Ha'onesh. But then there's a higher level of Yira that Rav Sadia Gaon termed Yirat Haromamus, which we would translate as awe, as reverence. Right? Awe and reverence we experience even in human relationships. If a king or a president or Queen Elizabeth, again, different presidents may inspire different levels of awe, but you know, at least historically, a president walks into a room, a king or a queen walks into a room, you know, you're going to brush off your jacket. Now, it's not because you're afraid that they're going to execute you. Maybe in the olden days, or maybe some kings even today, you know, Queen Elizabeth is a very nice woman. She is not going to order your head, you know, cut off because you weren't dressed appropriately. But there's a certain awe and reverence that we have because of the office. And then you extrapolate, if I have on reverence for a human king, the melech malchei amlochim, that's malei kol haaretz kavodo. It's not a question of punishment. It's a question of awe, of reverence. Right? That's called yiras haromimus. And in that sense, it does not really mean fear of God. Fear is not the right word, but yira means reverence for the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Actually, this is a very, very familiar distinction. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva writes that Yiras HaOnesh, he kind of disparages Yiras HaOnesh. Yiras HaOnesh, which, by the way, Yiras HaOnesh has a correlative term, which is doing mitzvahs for reward, but it's really the same thing. In other words, either I don't do Averas because of punishment, or I do mitzvahs because of reward. Same thing. So the Rambam disparages it. The Rambam says, that is the Madrega for Noshim, okay, leave that aside, Noshim Kitanim, that's a low level. A person should aspire to serve God out of true love and not for reward. Nevertheless, the Ramban gives us a very important corrective. The Ramban says, well, you know, you may say, oh, Yiras HaOnesh, that's a very low level. If we truly had Yiras HaOnesh, we would be tzaddikim gemurim. We would never sin. Because whatever benefit we get from a sin, the onesh is going to be infinitely worse. So if you really had Yiras HaOnesh, you would never do an Aveira at all. So yeah, it happens to be the lower Madrega. There's no question. It is the lower level. But halvai, v'halvai, v'halvai, we would be zocha to that low level. Now again, it's been pointed out by later Svarim, not so much of Sadja Gaon, that God's onshim are not out of anger, they're not out of revenge, they're not out of hatred. The onshim themselves are out of Hashem's love. They're like a physical therapy, a spiritual therapy, to enable our neshamos to be purified so we can receive the light of God. Now, that's a separate discussion, and that is the concept of onesh itself is not punitive, rejecting, and hateful, but it's therapeutic. Nevertheless, it hurts. And because it hurts, Yiras HaOnesh is a motivating factor for people not to do Averos. Yiras HaRomimus is a more sophisticated, elevated level, and that's the Yira coming from reverence and awe. The Gemara in Brachos says that even when non-Jewish kings come through a town, it is a mitzvah, at least it's a proper thing, I don't know if you can call it a mitzvah, it's a proper thing to see them, because then you get a sense of their glory, and the glory that you feel, you then imagine what will be the glory of Melech HaMashiach? And then, what is the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? We use these human relationships to kind of inspire us with. Now, Maharal, again, I haven't yet got to the Baal HaTanya, Maharal adds a third dimension. We said today, of course, the Maharal was the Alter Rebbe's great-grandfather. We said today, Chayim Sheyesh Bahem Yiras Shamayim, we ask Hashem for a life which will have Yiras Shamayim, fear of heaven, and fear of sin. So Yiras Shamayim is normally understood as Yiras HaRomimus. That's what it is. Yiras Einish we're not even putting in there. We want to have Yiras HaRomimus, a life in which we are filled with awe and reverence regarding HaKadosh Baruch. So the question is, what is Yiras Chet? Obviously, it doesn't mean reverence. Yiras Chet, right? I have reverence for the sin. In other words, that doesn't fit there at all. So the Maharal explains, Yiras Chet comes from Ava, because Yiras HaRomimus leads to Ava, if you think about it. Yiras HaOnesh Badafka doesn't. Yiras HaOnesh is totally disconnected from any bridge to Ava, because if I'm scared God is going to hurt me, that's not going to cause me to love him. Just as, if I'm afraid my parent is going to beat me, that does not inspire love. Unless I reach the Madrega of understanding that the onish itself is therapeutic. But that's already a much higher level. That's a higher level in Yiras HaOnesh. But Yiras HaRomimus can indeed lead to love, because Yiras HaRomimus is the recognition that God sustains creation, that God is the source of life, that God is all-powerful, that all of the beauty of the world and all of the goodness of the world comes from Him. And that, in turn, can give a person love. That's why, in a sense, You can't have true avas Hashem until you have yiras haromamas, because otherwise the entity that you're loving is not God. Meaning, until you internalize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I wonder what the dogs do in this neighborhood. Just go,
pretty obnoxious because you can hear it like pretty far away.
Yeah.
RSA Park, you can hear it.
Yeah. Wow. I hope it's not from the office, because I wasn't. Oh, good. All right. So you see that if I love God before I perceive the grandeur of God, then what I love is not God. Right? So Yiras Haromamas is a Pesach to Ava. Now says the Maral that the highest level of Ava is that you so much love God that you have a fear of doing anything that will give HaKadosh Baruch Hu pain. Yiras Chet. It's not Yiras Hashem. Legabe Hashem, you have Ava. But the Ava is so powerful that you have a Yiras. It's like a mashal. Let's say a person got married, whatever it is, his or her spouse are sleeping. Right, so we talk about an expression, you walk on eggshells, you tiptoe, you have a pachad. I don't want to wake them up. It's not the pachad that if you wake them up, they'll hit you with a frying pan. Hopefully, that's not going to happen. But it's a pachad that I care about somebody so much, I don't want to be goreim tzar. So the Maral says, yiras chet is actually the highest madrega of avas Hashem. So yiras shamayim is yiras haremimus. Yiras chet is the avas Hashem that reaches the madrega that you are misyarei to be makalkel the ava by bringing tsar to the one that you love. Yeah.
Is there, years ago I was taught, this third thing of yira is the connection to Ava, is because you don't want to do something that will put a block between you and Hashem. So
right.
In other words, let's say a person won't steal because they know that their essence, because that act of stealing, they love Hashem, and by stealing, not that they're hurting Hashem, what you're saying. I mean,
yep.
Then maybe this before the turn.
Yep.
You don't want to do something that will put a block. Some men, even if they're not going to be caught, will not have an affair because they know their essence is putting up a block somehow between themselves and their wives, even if the wife doesn't know it.
No, that's true as well, and that kind of overlaps. In other words,
because
Ava is the desire for Devekus.
Yeah.
So Yiras Chet is a Yira not to be Makalkel the Ava by a Richuk, by a distancing. And since Hashem, of course, knows whatever we do, so any Avera we do, right, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Avei Naseichem Mavdilim. Our sins are a machitza that separates. And that is the most painful thing for one that has love, to be separated. Right, you know what I mean? So that's called Yiras Chet. Right, so these are the classical the classical two levels are Yiras HaOnesh and then Yiras HaRomamos. And then the Maral and others have added the idea of Yiras Chet as a component of a Yira that comes from an Ava.
It's the same idea as Klal Yisrael singing Shira after they reach a level of Yira.
That's correct. In fact, that's what the Beis Levi uses this idea. The Beis Levi says, I've mentioned it before. The Beis Levi mentions, Vayiru Ha'am Es Hashem. No, so number one, he points out, Vayiru Ha'am, by Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayiru Ha'am, they feared Hashem. Now Hashem is Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's the name of Rachamim. So how is it Shaykh Yira of Hashem? So he says that Kriyas Yamsuf was an ultimate expression of Avas Hashem. Hashem loved them. Why? Again, I don't want to be marked too much in this part, but the Beis Halevi basically says, in all of the Makais, the miracle that Hashem did was the miracle of punishment. Every Makkah, the miracle was punishment. Blood, etc. The Jewish people did not get a miracle, they simply were left to the Teva. Kriyas Yamsuf is the only Makkah which was a miracle of love. The miracle was Hashem split the water. So Kriyas Yamsuf, we felt Hashem's love much more than every other Makkah. So says the Beis Halevi, when you feel Hashem's love, that causes you to love Hashem. Right? I love Hashem because I feel Hashem's love. So, when it says they feared Hashem, the Beis Halevi says that actually means they reached the level of Yiras Chet, where the love of Hashem was so strong, they didn't want to be makalkel by doing any type of avera. Right? Again, the Beis Halevi uses this idea that Yiras Chet is a type of Yira that comes from Ava. Right? So this is very, very familiar. Now we then come to the Alter Rebbe's different vocabulary, in which he calls something Yira Tata, lower Yira, and Yira Ilah, higher Yira. And one would be immediately tempted, as I was, so to speak, immediately tempted, oh, Yira Tata is Yira Sa'onesh, which the Rambam already says is the lower level, and Yira Ilah is Yira Haromimus. But unfortunately, not quite. Not quite. As I said, the Alter Rebbe usually hits you with surprises in various ways. And it seems that Yiras HaOnesh doesn't... Well, let me put it this way. It's true that Yiras HaOnesh is Yira Tata. But the Alter Rebbe suggests even a lot of Yiras HaRemimus can also be a Yira Tata as well. And the distinction the Alter Rebbe makes, and he's going to make, and again, just to remind you of our structure here, the Tanya is, although the Alter Rebbe doesn't necessarily give you an outline of where he's going, but the structure is a fairly clear structure. The Lamed He, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zayin, those chapters are talking about the importance of Maisa in bringing God into the world. Lamed Ches, Lamed Tes, and Mem talk about the importance of Kavana, in particular Ava V'Yira. And I'll go back to Perek Mem a little bit. And then starting from Perek Mem Aleph to Nun, the Alter Rebbe is going to talk about the different types of Ava and Yira that can exist within a person. First talking about Yira and then talking about Ava. So tonight, Mem Aleph, Mem Beis, I'll go back a little bit over Mem, we're going to talk about different types of Yira. And the Alter Rebbe says the following. The Alter Rebbe says that there is a Yira that comes through his Hisbeinonus. Hisbeinonus means contemplation about the greatness of God. And this is talking about Yira Tharamimus primarily. And sometimes that Yira will affect your actual feelings, meaning to say the highest level of lower Yira. Okay, this is the thing. Lower Yira, not high. The highest level of lower Yira is that through your Hisbeinonus, in the godless Hashem, in the Mole Kol Haaretz Kavodai, you are filled emotionally with awe and reverence, and even Yira Sa'onesh. So basically, Yira Tata, so again, Yira Tata is that your mind and your Hisbeinonus causes you to feel emotions of awe, reverence, and pachad. And that's a wonderful thing. That is the higher level of Yira Tata. So you see, it's a little confusing because in this higher level of Yira Tata, he is kolel both a Yira Sa'onesh and a Yira Sa'ramamas, but the Tzara Shava is, through Hisbeinonus, you are ma'orer, the actual regesh, the actual feeling. What if a person is not ma'orer, these feelings? What if intellectually I understand, either onesh or romamus, but I don't find myself shaking and quaking because of the glory of God? So then there's a lower level of yira tata. These are two types of yira tata, in which you at least intellectually make yourself consciously aware of it. Meaning, the Alter Rebbe says, there is a chiyuv before you do any mitzvah, or before you learn, to try to be ma'orer, yiras Hashem, optimally through a hisbeinonus that's mashpia on your emotion, suboptimally through his finerness that represents a conscious awareness. That's his scholar. In other words, he's machalik between. Remember, he goes with the idea that in every Jewish heart, there is both an ava mesuteris, a concealed love for God, which we're not going to talk about tonight, and a yira mesuteris, a concealed reverence for God. But our job is to bring out from the lave, and he mentions two steps. There is something called hiskalos libo, and there is something called hiskalos mocho. These two are kind of unique expressions. Hiskalos libo means you bring out that hidden feeling so it actually affects your emotions. And that's a higher level. Hiskalos mocho means it does not yet affect your emotions, but you do have the conscious awareness in my mind of God's greatness, God's awe, and even the yiras ha'onesh. So, the higher level of yira tata, is called hiskalos libay. The lower level of yira tata is called hiskalos mocha. But you see, what's a little unique about this classification system is that both levels are intermingling yiras ha'onesh and yiras ha'romamos. We're not really differentiating them at this point. We are simply differentiating between whether it affects me on an emotional, visceral level or whether it's simply a cognitive state. So the question then becomes, okay, those levels, whether it's hiskalos mocho or hiskalos libo, are still called yira tata. Well, that's pretty difficult. I mean, let's imagine hiskalos libo. I mamish and margish the godless habore. That's called a lower level. So what's the higher level? So here he says, the higher level is that you actually internalize emotionally that abitul hayesh, in which it's not simply God can do things in the world. It's not simply the infinite power of God to interact with creation, but it's a different level in which nothing exists but HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon. It's not that God has power over the universe. When you believe God has power over the universe, there's a universe and there's God, and God is the stronger of the two. That is what seems to be yira tata. Yira ila'a is the idea of ein od milvado, which is the famous teaching of the Baal Shem Tov, and again, Rav Chaim Volozhiner says it as well. Ein od milvadai. Atah hareis aladas, right? The pasuk says in the Yeshanan, you were shown Ki Hashem hu Elokim, that God is the only God. Ein oid milvadai, there is nothing beside Him. So the simple way you'd learn the pasuk is there's no other God besides God. But the Baal HaTanya learns, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner learns, the Mekubalim learn generally, ein oid milvadai does not mean there are no other gods beside Him. Ein od milvado is there is nothing at all besides Him. There is no reality other than God's will every single second. That's called a bitul hayesh, in which I recognize I don't even have an autonomous existence. And therefore, now by the way, that can only be on a yiras haromos. So I think it's true to say that yira tata can exist on both a yiras ha'onish level and a yiras ha'romamus level. Yira ila'a is exclusively yiras ha'romamus, because essentially if I truly have the recognition that I have no existence, then at that point there's no onish I could be afraid of, really, because there's no me anymore. So in a sense, we would say that although the Alter Rebbe's distinction is not between yiras ha'onish and yiras ha'romamus, but it is true that the higher level of yira ilah can only exist on a yiras haromamus level. And that's how he interprets the Mishnah So he says this. He says like this. He says, Yira Tata is the great motivator for me to keep Torah and mitzvahs and not to sin. Whether it takes the form of Yiras HaOnesh or Yiras HaRomamas, and whether it's Hiskalus Libai, which is the higher level of Yira Tata, or even if it's only Hiskalus Bamocha, if I truly, truly internalize that, even intellectually, then I will direct my machshava, my dibur, and my maisa to serve God, either out of fear or out of awe. So that's the meaning, imein yira ein chachma. Because what is chachma? Chachma is the idea of serving Hashem. That's chachma, reishis chachma, yiras Hashem. That's what the pasuk says, the beginning of, so memela, without yira tata, your yetzahara is gonna take the best of you. It's yira tata that keeps me in line, however you understand yira tata. But yira tata, the next level is chachma. Now chachma, the Bala Tanya writes, again, it's from the Arizal. Chachma, ultimate wisdom, you divide the word chachma into two words. Koach ma. Koach ma. What power do I have? What is the real chachma? The chachma that I can reach is that I'm nothing. All there is God. Chachma is the hakara of Ein Od Milvadei. So now look what the Mishnah says. Without Yira Tata, you can't progress to that next level. Imein Yira Ein Chachma. But Imein Chachma, until you reach the Bitul Hayesh of Koachma, Ein Yira, you have not achieved the level of Yira Ila. Okay, so Yira Ila is the sense of the ultimate understanding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Ein Od Milvadei, in which you become totally, totally nisbatal. Now, this is still a mystery. The mystery is, on the other hand, we have Bechira. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a certain amount of independence. Right? A person makes choices. A person is not supposed to imagine. They don't exist. Well, maybe I should say it this way. We are supposed to imagine that we exist. I was going to say, we're not supposed to imagine we don't exist. Apparently, the way Rav Shneur Zalman would say it is, we're supposed to imagine that we exist. Because that is part of the Aveda that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us. Again, there's a lot of mysteries. And in truth, you know, the second part of Tanya, the Shar HaYichud V'Emunah, deals with a lot of these problems. I mean, do I exist? Don't I exist? Am I just an illusion, so to speak? What exactly is the meaning of human existence if God is everything? That's really the second part of the Tanya, Shari Yichud V'Emunah. And, you know, even the Babaji Rebbe said that logically one should learn the Shari Yichud V'Emunah before they learn Tanya, because Shari Yichud V'Emunah explains the nature of God and man. But he says the minhag was not that way. And he says maybe Rav Shneur Zalman was even mesupik, because sometimes in the Tanya, in the Sefer Shel Beinonim, the chiluk that we're learning, he'll say, Kamocha Kasafti Liel, like I wrote before, and that's really a reference to Shara Yichud V'Emunah, which may be a mashmos that he actually wrote it first. But the minhag was basically to do the other way, primarily because we often need to start with practical etzes in Avodas Hashem before we deal with more theoretical structures. So the theoretical structures are very, very complicated. But essentially, Yira Ila is described as a Bitul Hayeshus, a Bitul Hametzius, based on Ein Od Milvadei, and that's a level that comes from Chachma, divine Chachma, and that is Koach Ma. My Koach is non-existent. Koach Ma, I am a nothing. By the way, in the Nefesh HaChaim itself, it's interesting, Nefesh HaChaim itself is not a book of skulos, but he actually writes in the Nefesh HaChaim a skula that if a person has something that may hurt him, may destroy him, he should be misbainain in the pasuk. Ein Od Milvadei, there is no koach but Hashem. And that takes away the power of anyone over him to hurt him or to harm him, because I realize that these are just figments of my imagination, so to speak, and it's my fear of them that gives these evildoers a koach over me. And when I am truly, when I truly recognize that they don't have an independent existence, they lose their koach. They become like a nightmare that vanishes. And he says, it's Baduk Minusa. He says, Baduk Minusa. It's a verified segula that Einoid Mulvadai is Masal. So they tell him, I saw with the Brisker Rav of Yitzhak Seif Soloveitchik, who was actually, you know, the Soloveitchiks are the great grandchildren of Rav Chaim Volozhin, the Beis HaRav, the famous Beis HaRav of Volozhin, that when the Brisker Rav was escaping Poland in the Holocaust night, I think he even had to shave off his beard, and he's driving in a car with his children. They don't look like Jews, and they're going to Switzerland or something, and they have to go through a lot of border checks, and this was tremendously fearful. If you didn't have the paper, you know, they had forged papers. The Nazis would be bidik them, you know. They would be killed on the spot or tortured. So the Brisker Rav told his children that were with him that when we're driving for so many hours in this car, do not stop thinking about the pasuk Ein Oid Milvade. Do not stop thinking about that pasuk. And amazingly, they're going through every border guard, and they're waving him through. And it's going great. Baruch Hashem, everything is going to Seder. And then at some point, a guard stopped them and asked for the papers. And the Brisker Rav nudged his son and said, did you stop thinking of the pasuk? He said, yeah, I was scared for a moment. I stopped thinking. He says, think about it again. And he started thinking about it. And then the border guard said, oh, never mind, let him go. Looks okay. This is the mice that they record. Einoid Milvadei, the Mitzias, that nothing has a koach. It only comes from Hashem. Yeah.
Is there any way to square at least the segula, if not the underlying concept, with the sort of schools of thought of Hashgacha Pratis that are not the Chavos Lavos? The Chavos Lavos talks about how everything is directly from Hashem, but there are lots of Rishonim who argue and are, you know, say that if someone wants to kill someone else, even if Hashem did not decree against them, since they have the theory, they could.
Yeah, obviously, there are going to be a lot of questions. This note of Einod Movadei, Bechlau, doesn't fit the idea of human autonomy to make their own decisions in the world. You're correct. Like Bechavis HaLavavos, it's a much easier idea that Bechavis HaLavavos has a famous shita, that no person can hurt me unless Hashem specifically decreed that this thing happened to me. That's Chavavavos HaShita, that it's not shayach. Now, yeah, the human being has choice, and he'll be punished for his choice, but it wouldn't have happened to me unless it was the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, most do not learn that way, including the Rambam himself. The Rambam of Vaday says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives people bechira, and therefore a Baal Bechira could be mazik a person, meaning according like this. Avada, you can always pray that Hashem should protect you, but here's the problem. The problem is, you may need, even if you're not worthy of a divine punishment, you may need a special zechus to be saved from a Baal Bechira. See, like the Chavos HaLavavos, it would all be the same thing. Like the Chavos HaLavavos, if a person gets shot in a robbery, it is only because God decreed that they will be shot. It's only God's decree. Now, why is it God's decree? That we don't know. Maybe Averos, maybe Yisur and Shalav. It could be a million reasons. Since we're not saying why that happened, but it was God's decree. So consequently, just like I could be mispalel that Hashem shouldn't punish me, I could be mispalel I shouldn't get shot. But like the Rambam, there's going to be a sharp dichotomy. Even if I don't deserve a gezeira of misa from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but if a person autonomously shot me, I may not have the zechus to be saved from the consequence of that action. How that fits Einod Milvado is a problem. It is a real problem. I mean, you know, Rav Tzaddok and the like, they try to say, you know, it's very hard to understand. They try to go with the idea of parallel universes, so to speak, meaning to say there are parallel universes, but they all actually come together, that in reality this universe operates with a principle of Bechira, but there's kind of a, not a parallel, that's not, I don't mean parallel, I mean a universe, right, what they call multiverse, meaning there's a universe that encompasses this universe in which everything is decreed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but that exists at a higher level. So in fact, everything is decreed by God, but within the framework of the universe, it operates through free will. I don't understand that, but this is the, although I think some science fiction writers would understand it. They actually write similar ideas to this, that there are multiple contradictory perspectives. Does that, yeah?
That isn't free will. That means yeah. that your free will was placed into you.
Yeah, well, that's the question. The question is does that mean free will is just the appearance of an illusion?
Right.
Yeah. Again, it's very much like, not that I saw the movie, but it's very much like The Matrix. I read about it and the like. And in The Matrix, you really have these very deep ideas that these Svarim are grappling with. That is, the appearance of free will versus the reality of things being predetermined. It's mamish this type of problem of ein od milvado, and nevertheless living in a world of choices. So that's one thing to keep in mind, that the Alter Rebbe does have a bit of an atypical terminology, and it doesn't automatically track. It overlaps, but it doesn't automatically track the familiar distinction of Yiras HaEinosh and Yiras HaRaimimus. Rather, the Yirat Tata is kolel, various aspects of Onish and Romimus, and that itself, well, again, it's a little confusing because as I read the Prakim, I identified in Yirat Tata two types of Yirat Tata. One is Hiskalos Libai, and the other is Hiskalos Mocho. Meaning, you start off with the idea that Mushrash in your heart, intrinsically, but it's Mesuteret, is this Yira for Hashem. But you need to bring it onto the level of consciousness. And that comes through Hispinerness and meditation. And the higher level is when, as a result of this consciousness, your emotions actually get transformed. So you feel awe, pachat, reverence for God. That is called going from the musuteret to hiskalos libay. But if you don't reach that level, there's something called hiskalos mocha, in which you internalize that in your mind. Now, those seem to be the two levels, meaning hiskalos mocha is lower level, Hiskalos Libo is higher level. It's not clear to me. He may be talking about a level that's even lower than Hiskalos Mocha, and that is sense of duty. Meaning, even if you're not consciously thinking about the infinite greatness of God, but if you simply have the idea that God commanded me to do things and I want to obey God, he suggests that may, again, it's not clear to me from the language of the Tanya, is that just Hiskalos Mocha, or is that something even below Hiskalos Mocha? But he says that too is a form of a Yira Tata. So you either have three types of lower Yira or two types of lower Yira. It's not clear. The Tanya is a little ambiguous.
Did something for practice before he does any business?
Okay, so now I'm going to talk about that aspect of it. First of all, I have to go back a little bit and have to remind myself about what we learned in Perek Mem, and that is he brings there the Zohar. The Zohar says very beautifully that Ava and Yira are the Trei Gadfin. Ava and Yira are the two wings that bring your Torah and your mitzvos up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Baal HaTanya makes the point in Perek Mem Aleph that you need two wings, which means to say, Ava is not enough and Yira is not enough. You have to have Ava and Yira, otherwise a bird with one wing is not going to fly. But if you don't have Ava or Yira, then your mitzvos don't ascend. They don't go up. Now, obviously, the mitzvos are the ikar, just like the bird is the ikar, right? The wings are not the bird's body, so to speak. They're an appendage. And yet they bring it up. Now the Baal HaTanya, again, based on sources in Kabbalah, he doesn't really prove this, he just asserts it, the idea is the following. He does bring from Chaim Vital. He says there are two levels here. if I do a mitzvah lishma, that means I do it with Ava and Yira. And Yira can include lower Yira as well as higher Yira. Ava v'Yira. So then, my mitzvahs go all the way up to Bria, the world of Bria. That's the world below Atzilus. If, however, I do Torah and mitzvahs shelo lishma, meaning I do it mitzvahs anoshim milumada, I do it as a matter of habit. So here, Rav Chaim Vital writes that there is a difference between Torah and other mitzvahs. Torah shelo bekavana, the angels are created in Olam Hayetzira, and mitzvahs without kavana, angels are created be'olam ho'asiya. Now again, let me point out that the difference between Torah and mitzvahs kicks in only on the level of shelo lishma. When it's lishma, both Torah and mitzvahs go up to the world of Bria. When it's shelo lishma, the Torah creates an angel in the world of Yetzira. I'm sorry, the world of Yetzira. And mitzvah shelo lishma create an angel in the world of Asiya. But here is the subtlety. You would think, superficially, that the only difference is that lishma, it goes up to a higher world. And shelo lishma, it goes to a lower world. There's actually a much, much deeper difference. And the Alter Rebbe goes into this. And that is, we have these four worlds. And again, once again, I'm just going to be saying the words without fully understanding them. We have these four worlds of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, Asiya. And each of these worlds are powered by the divine energy that gets channeled through the ten spheres. So although it's true that Atzilus is ultimately Chachma, etc. But nevertheless, there are 10 spheres of Atzilus, 10 spheres of Bria, 10 spheres of Yetzira, 10 spheres of Asiya. When you do a mitzvah lishma, Torah or mitzvah lishma, your mitzvos are nisyached with the spheros themselves, meaning they become unified with God. And therefore the or that you get is the or that comes directly from the koach of the spheres. Ma she'en kein, when you do a mitzvah shelo lishma, what is the lashon? You create a malach. Now, the Baal HaTanya says that in each of these olamos you have the spheros, and then you have what are called madurim v'heicholos, rooms and chambers, which are external to the spheros. They're makabel shefa from the spheros, but they're not unified with the spheros. A malach is in a madur or a heichal, which means, therefore, that the critical difference between lishma and shelo lishma is not only a difference into which world does the mitzvah ascend, but whether it becomes nisyached with elokus mamish, which are the spheres, or it's simply the bechina of a malach that's mekabel a shefa, but it's not mamash nisyached. And this in turn determines the light that permeates my neshama. So he says that shelo lishma, the Torah does ascend to the world of Yetzira, but only bebuchinas malach, to be makabel from the spheros. It's not nisyached with the spheros themselves. And if it's a mitzvah shelo lishma, it doesn't even go to the world of Yetzira. It only goes to the world of Asiya, but once again, it's omeid in the Heicholos and Madurim. It is not nisyached with the spheres itself. Which means to say, the notion of my mitzvahs and my Torah literally uniting with God, and therefore my neshama getting that light directly from God is only shayach on the level of lishma, and shalom lishma, it's the bechina of a malach. Again, I apologize for not being able to fully explain this, because I don't fully understand it, but just in terms of the terminology, this is what the Alter Rebbe develops. Now, he then goes on and says that this is referring to the shalom lishma of, you know, I just do it because I do it, but I'm not thinking, I'm not doing it for ulterior motives. But if in fact I'm doing it for osher, for kavod, that's a shalom lishma, the Alter Rebbe says, that doesn't go anywhere. That remains in the world of klipa. That remains in this physical magusham world, and it does not bring you a divine light at all. But nevertheless, do it, because when you do tshuva, it then gets elevated, right? So the concept of mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma is kind of an amazing thing. The Alter Rebbe actually says that when I do a mitzvah for, well, this is actually a little tricky. There's a point I want to make here that the Alter Rebbe does not make, and I'm just wondering. The Alter Rebbe says, if I do a mitzvah because of pinyas, osher, kavod, the Alter Rebbe says that mitzvah goes nowhere at all. That mitzvah remains in this world of klipas. It does not bring godliness into the world. So the obvious question is, why do it? The Alter Rebbe's answer is, the only purpose for doing it is the potential that when you do tshuva, and yovad I do tshuva, either begilgul zeh, remember last week, or begilgul acher. So it's really a certain thing. So those mitzvahs are potentially in a dormant bank account that can be reclaimed, but lamaiseh right now, they do nothing at all. So here's my question. When you say pnias, like oishir v'kavod, I mean, let's analyze that a little bit. If I do a mitzvah in the hope that God will give me wealth, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's shalom l'shma. That actually might qualify as lower yira, because I'm maimin that Hashem is the source of reward and punishment. So I would suggest, therefore, that maybe the Alter Rebbe's reference to osher is not the idea that God will give me a blessing because I do a mitzvah. Because I think if I really, really believe that God will give me a blessing, that is a some madrega of yira. But I think he means he's doing it for people to give him glory. In other words, he's not connecting it to the Eivishter Bichlal. So that, the Alter Rebbe says, that mitzvah goes nowhere. And the whole reason of mitoch shelo lishma ba lishma is only because there is the potential of freeing it from galus by your tshuva that will then bring the mitzvah. Now, these are points that the Nefesh HaChaim will strongly disagree with. And again, it's very fascinating. You know, it's interesting that, I don't know if you saw this, this is an amazing sefer. Somebody put out a new Nefesh HaChaim, I saw it today for the first time, in which he shows all the Hasidic Shesvarim. It goes to the whole Nefesh HaChaim, and he shows all the comparisons with the Hasidic Shesvarim, not later Hasidic, the Hasidic Shesvarim that were around when Rav Chaim wrote Nefesh HaChaim. The Tanya is the most famous, but there were quite a few that were around. And he shows how similar the ideas were. And in the Hakdama, he also puts in Rav Kook, which is a separate thing, but okay. I don't know why he put in Rav Kook, he didn't put in Rav Tzadok. I mean, as he said, he didn't want to put later Hasidic Shesvarim, because he wanted to show what Rav Chaim may have seen. But Rav Kook he put in anyway, but okay. But he writes in the Hakdama, it's interesting, that Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin was a parent who became the successor of Rosh Hashiva. Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin is the Netziv's father-in-law. Was apparently a problem kid in a few ways. I had already heard that Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin wanted to go to medical school. And legend has it that Rav Chaim said, I have to start the Volozhin Yeshiva for no other reason than to keep my son out of medical school so he'll stay in Torah. So he says, the whole Volozhin Yeshiva was started for my son Rav Yitzchak. So now I read, he had another problem with Rav Yitzchak, that Rav Yitzchak of Volozhin had a strong netiyah to Hasidus. Big problem. So Rav Chaim wrote the Nefesh HaChaim to kind of incorporate in the Nefesh HaChaim many of the Hasidic thoughts, but within the framework that would be Mekobol among the Misnagdim as well. And that's why they even say that it's quite amazing that although the Nefesh HaChaim is an extremely well-documented sefer, one might even say an over-documented sefer, everything Rav Chaim says, he will bring not one raya, like the Baal Tanya will bring, you know, one or two rayas. The Nefesh HaChaim brings like 20 rayas for everything, from the Ari, from the Zohar, and he'll not just give you one Zohar, he'll give you, you know, 15 Zohars. 15, right? It's an over-documented sefer, and it's a Deber Pashut that the reason why Rav Chaim over-documented it is because Hasidim were making the argument that their whole Aveda is miyusad on the Seidus of Torah, and the Misnagdim don't understand the Seidus of Torah, and that's why they don't follow that Derech Aveda. So Rav Chaim needed to show the Dafka from the Kabbalistic Makairis, his Shita. But it's fascinating that although he quotes the Arizal maybe 200 times, he quotes the Gra only 4 times in the whole Nefesh HaChaim. Now you know how oduk, how attached Rav Chaim Volozhiner was to the Gra. Mamish like a ben, mamish attached.
The Gra was called the Chassid.
The Gra was called the Chassid, that's correct. And the Gra was even bigger in Kabbalah than Halacha. The Gra was a tremendous Mekubal, and Rav Chaim was tremendously oduk to the Gra. And yet he didn't. He barely mentions the Gra in Nefesh HaChaim. So some want to suggest that the Nefesh HaChaim was written, number one, to be Makarev his own son, but also to be Makarev Chassidim to this Derech. So therefore he didn't want to put the Gra. The Gra was very, you know, the Gra was very anti-Chassidim. The Gra put it in Cheirim, etc. No, Rav Chaim Volozhiner, it's Yadua, never signed any Cheirim, any document against Chassidim. And people ask the Kasha, how is it Shaykh that he didn't do that? The Gra was such a misnagid. Rav Chaim never signed any misnagis. The short answer is, he had a different Shita. He had a different Shita. He saw a certain chasreinus in it, but he also saw many, many positive things. And the Nefesh HaChaim incorporates a lot of chasidus.
He had chasidim in the yeshiva, right?
And he had chasidim in the yeshiva. Oh. He had chasidim in the yeshiva. And they say in Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner, who indeed wanted to be a chasid, had many, many chasidus for it. So it's an interesting thing that...
His son would see Sinai.
He would have been Merachik his son. Now, you know...
Well, no, more than that. Yeah. The rebellious child is always looking for something to
right.
So if he signs it, then the Chomer he's going to go to.
Yeah. So, we'll say Rav Yitzchak Volozhiner was a problem child in two ways. But he became a very, very chashuv, a very great gadol in his own right. Now, they say Rav Gifter wrote in a letter that he had heard as a bachur in Telz that Rav Chaim actually traveled to a Hasidic Rebbe, to Rav Simcha Bunim of Prashischa, to hear how Hasidim daven. He wanted to know how they davened. Now, it's very interesting. Somebody made a cheshvan about dates. Rav Simcha Bunim became a Rebbe when Rav Chaim was already 63. If you figure the dates. So, and going from Volozhin to Prashischa is a long trip. It's like 700 miles. It's not a short trip. So some people are mesupik, is this a believable story? But Rav Gifter pointed out, whether it lamaisa happened or didn't happen, the fact that people said that such a thing was shayach meant that Rav Chaim was someone who was very, very interested in what could be incorporated from Chassidus that would be taivu mayo, and what would be a problem. So it was a very, very different shita than the Gra. The Gra was mamish kulo treif. The Gra looked at it as kulo treif. Rav Chaim had a very different shita. And that's why Taka, on these and yonim, he was mamayit to bring the Gra. He didn't want people to be turned off who were Chassidim from the fact that they brought in the Gra. Yeah.
Especially if we're talking about when Rav Chaim was in his 60s. A lot of time had passed since when the Gra first started issuing the Cheirim,
yeah,
and to when we're talking about.
Yeah.
So it's also quite possible that at the very least, Hasidus had become much more established.
Yes.
And even more so than that, perhaps they had adopted the changes that...
Yeah.
the Balatanya, among others, were pushing for, that would have been somewhat of
This is indeed quite possible. First of all, Rav Chaim saw Haskalah as a much, much bigger enemy. And he says, what's the point of fighting with other religious Jews if you have a whole kayach from Klal Yisrael that's against the Torah? So in a way, the Haskalah movement itself brought a rapprochement, so to speak, and then I've mentioned more than once in the fascinating biography that the Torah Tamima wrote about his family. This is the Makor Baruch. He had a controversial book. It gets censored when Art Scroll. But Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, the Torah Tamima, writes about his father, the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan, the Posek Ador. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan actually got smicha. Aruch HaShulchan was a misnaged. He was not a chassid at all. But he got smicha from the Tzemach Tzedek, the third Lubavitcher Rebbe. Why did he get smicha from the Tzemach Tzedek? He already was a Rav. But because the Aruch HaShulchan's first stellar was in a small town, before he went to Nevardik, was in a small town, the majority of whom were Chabad Chassidim. And Chabad Chassidim would not accept a Rav. You didn't have to be a Chabad, but they would not accept a Rav unless the Rebbe was Maskim. So the Aruch HaShulchan spent a month with the Tzemach Tzedek, where the Tzemach Tzedek tested him on Shas and Paiskim and everything else. And the Aruch HaShulchan saw what a guy the Tzemach Tzedek was. And he said later, he says, the Tzemach Tzedek did not tell me a single Chassidish avoid in a month, because he knew it wasn't the Firuchi. It was amazing. The Tzemach Tzedek didn't speak any Chassidish to him at all, only Shas and Paiskim. And then the Aruch HaShulchan quotes, the Torah Tamima quotes his father as having heard from the Tzemach Tzedek exactly what you said, and that is, we are very grateful to the Gra for excommunicating us, because we were on the verge of going off the cliff in terms of Avo V'Yira, and you know, who cares about mitzvos and learning? And when the Gra excommunicated us by saying that's not the derech, that forced us to concentrate on Torah and mitzvos, and therefore we're makir tov that the Vilna Gaon's Chayrim brought us back into the mainstream. That's why, for example, if you take a guy like Martin Buber, you know, Martin Buber wrote, he was a non-religious German-Jewish philosopher who taught the Hebrew University here. Martin Buber wrote Tales of Hasidim. There are all sorts of Hasidim Meisim, and he only likes the early generation. He doesn't like Hasidim like later, so they became too religious. He loved the fact that the early Hasidim, I mean, again, some of this was a fantasy, but he loved the early Hasidim only emphasized, you know, Abba V'Yira. They weren't so much into Gemara. Again, it's a caricature, but Buber liked that caricature, and when Hasidim became more frum, Martin Buber considered it a betrayal of the revolutionary nature of what Chassidus was supposed to become. That's why he only writes about the very early.
The other, though, he himself wasn't deducting.
Obviously, okay. but the point is, the Tzemach Tzedek actually says that, and according to that, Rav Chaim saw less of a need to be Leichaim because Chassidus itself moved towards Torah and Mitzvah. Akedei Kach, that they often become, except for Zman Tefila, which is still a problem even today, but they often become the most from segment.
So Chabad has accepted that someone said that?
No. So what's interesting is that Chabad says it's a sheker v'chazav. They do not believe that Tzemach Tzedek would have said it, because that would be a betrayal, whatever. So, and Bechlal, the Makor Baruch, as I say, is an absolutely fascinating book. It's four volumes. But, you know, a lot of the stuff there, people don't want to be makabel. I actually think it is accurate most of the time, but people don't want to be makabel. For example, he says, it's makabel in the yeshiva world that the Volozhiny Yeshiva was closed down because the Russian government demanded they introduce secular studies, and the Nitziv said, better not to have a yeshiva at all than to have a yeshiva with limudei chol. This is makubal in the yeshiva world, why Volozhin was closed down in the 1890s, because of that. Now the Torah Tamima, who was the Nitziv's nephew, and the Nitziv's secretary, and was in Volozhin at the time, gives a whole different story. He says, the Nitziv was not against secular studies. The Nitziv was very happy. 2 hours in the afternoon, they would learn Russian and mathematics and science, he says. He was happy with that. The Russian government came in and they basically said, You got to have secular studies from 2 o'clock to 7 o'clock, and then the yeshiva has to close down after at 8 o'clock. You know, so basically they would eliminate. You know, they would only have 4 hours a day of learning in the morning, 9 to 1. So the Nitziv said they could learn more. They could learn more in a base medrash than you know. Why should I be? But so it changes the whole story. That the problem was not the Nitziv says you heard Val Yavar on secular studies. The Nitziv's problem was that this would take over the whole day and people couldn't even learn at night. For, you know, they made up a health reason. Again, it was all anti-Semitism, but they made up. You know, we can't have the yeshiva open after 8 o'clock because of health hazards and whatever it is. So I remember, I told you the story, that they translated that part of the Makor Baruch in a book called My Uncle the Nitziv. And the Lakewood Cheder, around 25 years ago, sent out this book as a fundraiser. It's an interesting book about the Nitziv. And then around 2 weeks later, we get a letter from the Lakewood Cheder saying, please send back the book and we will give you a full refund. It has come to our attention that this book does not express Das Torah. Well, you can rest assured that even people who didn't bother to read the book, when you get a letter like that, you're going to read that book. What is in this book that is so explosive? So it turned out there were two things that were considered to be explosive. One was the account of the closing of Volozhin, which kind of validated Limud Echol. Basically said, a little bit of Limud Echol, Nishkafelech, you know, it's okay. It's only when they wanted to take over the whole day, so that was considered to be
Whole American high school yeshiva system functions on at least there's a permission for a few hours in the afternoon.
That's true, but the way it works is that's because we're forced. That's because we're forced.
They but were in principle, forced.
Well, yeah, but the Nitziv said
story.
No, but the Nitziv said in principle it was okay, you know, whatever. And besides, in Eretz Yisrael, we work the opposite way. So some of the Hisnagdus came from Eretz Yisrael. Now, the second thing was a discussion that the Torah Tamima had with the Nitziv's first wife, who used to, she used to learn Gemara all the time, and she used to bemoan, apparently she would bemoan, why can't women learn, and whatever, and he brought all sorts of makoros, that women can learn Gemara, so that was the other thing that was
was a concern about the way he describes the conversation with the Nitziv, about the way the Rambam learned that there was some sort of forced logic to answer.
Yeah, there were other
things. By himself, and the Rashi.
Yes, I'm not sure if that was explosive, but that is the Chiddush. He does quote the Nitziv. The Nitziv says, why are there so many Shver Rambams, contradictions in the Rambam, and, you know, in the Rashba you have fewer contradictions. So he quotes the Nitziv as saying, because as great as the Rambam was, the Rambam learned by himself. The Rambam had no chavrusas, had no chaverim. Mela, you know, you make mistakes. Everything the Rashba learned was always in the yeshiva.
That was not explosive.
I don't think that was explosive, although it's interesting. Now, the Torah Tamima then says he showed the Nitziv a Marsha. Very interesting Marsha. The Marsha writes in the middle of Sanhedrin somewhere that he's not writing any chidushim on a certain perek because he learned this perek Bein Hazmanim and it was not b'chabura. The Marsha says this, and therefore he's not sure that his chidushim are so emes, because they were not shared or discussed. The Marsha writes that the Marsha does write, and the Nitziv kissed him. He says that's such a tremendous siyuah.
Are we supposed to approach the Rambam believing that?
I'm not telling you to approach the Rambam that way. This is what is quoted. Now, is any of this accurate? Is all of this made up? You know, who knows? I mean, even the Sefer Torah Tamima, people attack as for different reasons. Okay. Anyway, I just want to mention one thing. This idea of meditation, that you have to meditate on your mitzvahs before you do it, will be Maruch more next week. But the Bala Tanya says, before your learning and before every mitzvah, you have to have this machshava. To be mashrish, some form of yira. We'll talk about ava later. Some form of yira in your mind. Let it be lower yira. Let it even be the sense of duty, even if it doesn't fully turn into an emotional. Even if it's not biskalas libay, let it be biskalas meichai, and that will be the wing that will bring your mitzvah up to be misyached with the sfiros in the world of bria, etc. And he even says, you do this before you learn, and you do this before you daven, and you do this before you do a mitzvah. And if you're learning for many hours, he says, you need to renew this every hour. Could be a short time. And he says an interesting reason Kabbalistically. He says, every hour there is a new shefa of divinity that comes into the world because the old channel is withdrawn. He makes the point that the Shem Havaya, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which is the name, the dominant name through which Hashem interacts with the world, has 12 Tserufim. There are 12 ways you can arrange the four letters of Shem Havaya. And therefore, each hour of the day, there is a different tziruf of the Shem Havaya. And therefore, a different channel needs to be opened. And therefore, you need the Ava V'Yira anew. Now, he is making the following point, that you, for a Benoni, you don't have to have the Ava V'Yira in a conscious level for the whole Hemshech of the mitzvah. Let's say you're learning for an hour. It doesn't mean for 60 minutes you have to have Ava V'Yira. You have to have that debate. And he brings a raya, this is a sugi that you're learning, from the din of Lishma by Gittin. When a person has to write a get Lishma, that doesn't mean every word he's saying. In other words, he says at the beginning, I am writing the get Lishem, the man and the woman. Then he just writes. He doesn't have to consciously think, because the Machshava at the beginning will carry him through. Now the Baal HaTanya says, he does say, this is the Avoda for a Beinoni. A Tzaddik already is Mekutcher to God 24/7. For the Beinoni, you have this meditation bitchila, and that will carry you through, but you need to renew it every hour, because every hour is governed by a different serif of the Shem Havaya. And it could just be a few minutes, again, depending on Yira Ilah, Yira Tata, but one needs to do it. One needs to do it.
Within the same tefillah?
Huh?
Within the same tefillah, if it like passes an hour, you have
L'chayra, even if it's the same tefillah. In fact, they tell a maitz with the Baal HaTanya, when the Baal HaTanya was arrested in St. Petersburg, and for a while he was in solitary confinement, and there was no window. And when guards came for him, he was davening mincha, or some ma'arev or something, and the guard says, you know, what are you doing? Well, these are the afternoon prayers. How do you know if, you know, there's no watch, there's no clock, there's no light. How do you know day, night? How do you know anything? So he says, it's a Dabur Pashut. He says, every hour there's a different spiritual godliness that comes into the world because it comes through the different sirufim of the Shem Havaya. So the Baal HaTanya was so connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he could feel the difference in the spirituality from hour to hour. So he knew exactly what time it was. What do they say? They say in the 12 hours of the day, it's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, arranged 12 ways. And at night, it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, the Tzirufim of the Shem Adnes. And therefore, if one truly feels the different spiritual nuances, he will know exactly what time it is. And this is not affected by daylight savings time or changes of the clock. By the way, you also have to know, too, our hours are not really true hours because based on time zones they are approximations, meaning to say this refers to true measuring hours starting from sunrise, sunset, etc. So you'd have to know this exactly, you'd have to adjust your time a little bit. So when the time says 1 o'clock here, it actually might be 1:15 in the true traveling of the sun and the light. Yeah.
I mean, depending on the summer and winter, there'd be more hashpahs of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei or Adnes, depending on how
this is a little complicated because the way some Sfarim describe when you have more day than night, they talk about the day borrowing from the night and the night borrowing from the day, which actually means that the Shemais and the hashpahs are based on a 12-12. So even when you have a 10-14, you consider the 2 hours as still belonging to the unit of 12, meaning it does not get affected by summer, winter. Rather, we simply say the night has borrowed 2 hours from the day, or the day has borrowed 2 hours from the night, but the tziruf is still from the Shem Havaya, or the Shem Adis. Yeah. Rebbe
would say that the Anshei Knesset Gdola have helped people to have Yira by Tefillah, because at the very beginning, Baruch Atah Hashem, you're Machmiya, you're accepting Hashem as the Melech. So automatically, even if someone doesn't want to have that, it's in the process of...
No, 100%. In fact, the Baal HaTanya says that explicitly. He says that the concept of Hishtachavoya, of bowing down, is to physically be Machmiya yourself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that inspires a person to have Yira. Rabbi Avigdor Miller used to tell people that you should make time every day in private to bow down to Hashem. He says, you know, you have to do it halakhically proper, but, you know, take a rug or something like you do in Yom Kippur. And one should actually bow to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says that is a gesture that, you know, inspires certain feelings of reverence. Oh. Yeah.
So if the raya that the Baal HaTanya is using to prove that the sort of the whole temporal concept of whatever makes the point that it has to be renewed every hour. Gittin, if someone's writing a get over the course of, usually it takes much less than, you know, it takes whatever, could be an hour, could be a little more.
Yeah.
Certainly by making matzahs, they say something at the beginning of the whole day and then they're working until the end. There's no concept of renewal there.
No, that's right, because there, that's simply a halacha that, you know, you have to do this process, lishma, so beginning of the process is enough.
In the matzah baking, every so often is chain mitzvah's matzah.
They say it again, but they don't have to, technically. Mm-hmm. Here it's a little different, though, because here you're talking about yira as bringing your mitzvahs up to shamayim. Now, the problem is, there's a new channel here, meaning to say, in hour number one, this is the channel. Hour number two, it's this channel. So this channel hasn't... In other words, when the issue is bringing your mitzvahs upstairs to be misiached with the spheres, so if it's a new road, you know, that road hasn't yet...
Also, your kavana should have to be slightly different, meaning I'm intending to use the channel of this hour.
Yeah, well, that's true. But then, on the other hand, you know, that level of specificity we haven't required. Okay. All right, so we'll continue. Is the Zman over on Shabbat? When is the last day?
Thursday is officially the last day of Zman.
Okay, so I don't know what people want to do. If people want to continue, I'm willing to continue, but...
There's no issue about Tosafot, but we have
The only question is, if most people aren't here, I don't want to,
Maybe show of hands, maybe those.
Okay, we can decide later. People can tell me later.
I can do some kind of review on the previous name.
Review, okay. Okay, we can try it. Okay.
So we're on next, Mr. John?
We'll try. Okay, thank you.
Have a good day. Does that mean that, let's say the hour passes, the Lishem Yichud that I would have said at the beginning of the hour, I would repeat?
Well, you may not be allowed to be mopsic, but you at least think about it.
We spoke about the different kavanas, the lower level of not having... But over here, you have the precedence of Yira Shemayim v'Yira Skate. So, so this Osher V'Kovah that you're responsible for is a higher level Osher V'Kovah than devoted to Hashem.
That's right.
It's not self-centered.
Right.
Also, one other quick thing is, when you spoke about Onish, when the Onish comes, I always look at Onish as Hashem's love, because the Onish is a kapara, according to the Rambam, Hilchot Tshuva. So Onish is a good thing when a person receives it.
No, that's correct. It's not...
Just a very quick story. There was a person who needed a kidney. He was in the New York area. He needed a kidney. Nothing was coming his way, so he decided to go to California. As soon as he arrived in California, they said, there's an immediate... there's two kidneys available in New York. He started singing and dancing. He couldn't get back in time. It turned out that those people who got the kidneys ended up passing away. So he was saying, Gamzu Latova. Hashem, I decided to go here. Hashem put those thoughts in my mind, so everything is Latova. Afterwards, he got a kidney and he lived.
This might be too complicated. But